Surprise, let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick Art, tonight with Emma and Kirsten, proudly sponsored this month by our friends from Foolish Wit. Head to foolishwit.com to check out their latest show. Kick Arts, Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. Now tonight we are talking Shakespeare, aerials and improv. But to kick the show off today, as this is Anzac weekend, with a public holiday you get to observe tomorrow, hopefully your alarms are turned off. Here is Modern Māori Quartet with their tribute to the Anzacs.
Māori battalion march to victory, Māori battalion staunch and true, Māori battalion march to glory, take the honour of the people with you. We will march, march, march to the enemy, and we will fight right to the end. For God, for King, and for country, awe, ake, ake, kia kahae. Reo ko whitu toa, maulia atura, e pueru o koutou tipunae. Te mana me te wehi e, te mana me te wehi e. Hei wā ki tā whiti nui, ki tā whiti pāmama, awe awe te aroha, e nau ki no nei. O tira i tēne wā e rērā, ma te kingi o ngā kingi kotau, e mana ki e, ko te tangi tēne a te ngakaue. Tomo mai e ta mama, ki roto, ki roto, inga, inga, e tupera atu nei. Ki ngā pōre e hu o te kiwi e, ki ngā tamatoa o te neiriri nui. Hoki mai, hoki mai, hoki mai, ki te wātainga, e tutu ki te tumarako. Ki te kapa kapa mai, te haki, oi ngā rangi rumo te amana e. E te wakabitua e te katara, a te ata inga e haki rarora, māma whaitara e ngangawa, hei rea hi te ara e tika hai, e te tatsi neki a tohuita, kia kotahi nā ngāri. Aue, ane, i o moko puna e, e urusu nei. O
te hono tātai hono, te hunga mate, ki te hunga mate. Awe te hono tātai hono, te hunga ora, ki te hunga ora, ti hei, mauri ora.
Wow, that was a pretty good start to the show, Kirsten. And I even got the buttons right.
You are impressing me to no end right now, Emma. Not surprising, but it's so nice to be in the studio with you. Our first time together.
I know. It is our first time together. You've filled in for me so many times, and now you're sitting in my seat, where I normally sit, and I'm sitting in Stephen's seat.
You are rocking it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Stephen is away. He travelled down to see Come From Away's opening in Tauranga. Very jealous, but I'm going down on Friday.
Are
so
you?
I can't wait to see that.
But oh, amazing.
It's been a crazy time, though. Like, there's just so much theatre happening at the moment. In fact, we accidentally bumped into each other yesterday at the Playhouse.
For the first time. Because I haven't met Emma in person, but I understand we've been at the same events.
Yeah.
But you walked into my row. I recognized your gorgeous hair, and I said, Emma, I'm Kristen, and that was history. And we had a very interesting time yesterday. Do we want to talk about it now?
Yeah. So
at Carrie the Musical.
Yeah. So it was the final matinee performance at Carrie the Musical at Playhouse Theatre, Inc. And it was the alt show. So we got to see all the alternate players, and man, it was good.
You would not even know it. So the only reason I knew that it was a different cast is because we had the cast here a couple weeks ago, yet I have to tell you that I am still thinking about it and in awe of how they turned that book and that movie into a musical. Well, and then readapted it to a musical because it wasn't it didn't do quite well in the 80s, and then I was flabbergasted. And you can't really, like, it's dark, but the way that it was handled was amazing. And I know you had a couple of your ex-students there.
Current students, yeah.
Current students. They were amazing. I have to say that one of your students was the mother.
Yes.
You would not even know that she was not a mother. She played it amazingly and flawlessly.
And she's only 18.
I can't believe it. And then I went back and watched the trailer last night of the original movie.
Right.
I was like, I don't think I can watch the whole thing, do two Carries in one day. She nailed it.
Yeah.
All of them did.
It was so good. And I had also, the night before, it's been a weekend of community theatre, because I went to the opening of Beauty and the Beast for Harlequin Theatre on Friday night. And then last night, I went to the opening of Sister Act for Papakura Theatre Company. So three community musicals happening. Obviously, Carrie's finished now. So if you missed it, you missed it. And boo on you, because you missed something really good. But yeah, the other two are on for two more weeks. So get along and support community theatre. And of course, Anne Juliet is still happening. It's got another week. They had a sold out Sunday today. But get in and see that as well. Because if you like bopping to a bit of rock music and pop 90s styles, get in there. But we better click over to who's in studio with us at the moment.
Oh, we have a full house.
Four lovely people staring back at me from Macbeth Inc. I'm not quite sure why it's an ink, but I suppose we're about to find out. So we've got Michaela, we've got Nat, we've got Hamish, we've got Shay. Kia ora.
Yes, kia ora. Kia ora.
So let's start with you, Michaela. Tell us, break the stigma. Why are we at ink?
Yes, so
I should probably turn your microphone on. That would always help, wouldn't it?
Hi.
Oh,
yes,
here we go. We don't need you.
Yeah. Hi. Yes, hi. Yes. Good. Nice and close. Hi. Macbeth Inc. or Macbeth Incorporated. We are a really fun little production. We are Shakespeare with a twist. And our twist is we are setting it in a different setting that is inspired by the movie American Psycho.
And who decided that?
That one would be me. So initially, my lovely co-director, Nat Dolan, who is not here with us today because he's buggered off to the home of Shakespeare to check out the UK and travel around the Europe for a little bit. And I am taking the reins on it in the minute. We had a discussion exactly, now would be a year and a half ago. He came to me and was like, hey, I want to direct and do some Shakespeare. I want to do Macbeth specifically. You've done directing before. Do you want to do it with me? And I was like, hell yeah, I'd love to do that. That would be amazing. We went through a bunch of different iterations. Once it was like, we had a couple thoughts about it being an audio play, setting it in the 30s, mob bosses, mafia stuff. We had played around with a lot of ideas. And then, this was 2025. Yeah, that's the year. in around this time, no, maybe, yeah, around this time or May last year, I had seen American Psycho for the first time. I'm a big thriller nut. I'm a big fan of anything psychological in that regard. And I was immediately enthralled. I was like, this is really interesting. This is really fun. I could see the parallels between Patrick Bateman and his psychosis, the concept of toxic masculinity, the lust for power, as well as and mirroring that in Macbeth and as the classic story. So I pitched the idea to him. We looked online and we were like, no one else has done something similar to this. We haven't seen a corporate Macbeth. And of course we had to do it when there are so many fantastic, by the way, but so many Macbeths happening this year. But ours is fun and different because we're playing into that late 80s, early 90s corporate campy horror aesthetic.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Other than that, not much different. It's an adaptation. We haven't changed the script or the words exactly. We've shifted things around, but still Shakespeare, still fun, but in a new package.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to go down the line, starting with Hamish.
Hello.
Lean right into your microphone there. Beautiful. So tell us, what are you doing in this adaptation?
That's a great question. I'm pretending to be a person pretending to be a person. I ain't that the way with actors. I'm playing Macbeth, parentheses, Patrick Bateman, parentheses, not. Doing my dangdest to not literally do a Christian Bale or otherwise... like Matt Smith musical version of trying to not be a direct imitation of a performance, but still trying to connect to the same sort of core themes and verbs and like objectives, I guess, of the trying to key into the process that led to that performance and not literally just do that performance. Trying to figure out how to, in a Kiwi accent, especially, steep in the sort of arrogance and all of the other key words.
Fabulous. No worries at all. Okay. And let's move down the line. So, Shay, what are you busy doing?
Hello. I am playing Lady Macbeth. I am trying to hone as best I can the powerful feminine figure that then derails into this crazy yet trying to hold on to the last bit of mental stability whilst also being angry at a man. No less. it's been really fun.
So. Awesome. We'll come back to that. And finally, kia ora.
Kia ora.
What are you busy doing in this show?
So I am the executive producer of Macbeth Inc.
Ooh.
My job is more or less to take care of these three and the rest of our team within this project, taking care of a lot of the paperwork behind the scenes, working on funding, working on marketing, making sure a lot of the things run smoothly off stage so that these ones over here and the rest of our lovely cast can bring it to life on stage.
So what does that mean? Because this is the first show for this production company, is that right?
Yes, this is the premiere of this adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been very interesting working within that. Michaela and I have worked together before as a director-producer duo, so in some aspects this was very similar to previous projects. Last project was a premiere of a new text. We were able to market it as such. This has been a little bit different. I would definitely say for the better in a lot of ways. It's got a very noted appeal to it, working with Shakespeare, bringing on the aesthetic of American Psycho. It's really lended itself well to a lot of the things that I've been doing. It's really made it easy to share it out, you know, expand our horizons and contact people, and they're immediately intrigued with what we're doing. It's been very fun in that regard.
Awesome. And what's it like, because you've been rehearsing at Kete Aranui and you're performing at the Factory.
Yes.
So what's that been like, Michaela?
It's been fantastic. I work with Factory a lot. We've done a lot of productions with them, as well as I work for them as well. I work on the desk. I work in designing. I do a bunch of their stuff for them. So it's always lovely working with Connie. Shout out Connie Boston. And of course, lovely Lara. And getting everything sorted. Kete Aranui is a really wonderful, accessible spot. And it has been made everything really easy breezy, honestly, the fact that we have our venue and our rehearsal space so close together. We're going to be getting into the space real soon, which is really cool. You can't beat Factory, honestly. The stage itself is so, the space is so malleable. I love how malleable it is, and the ethos of it, just in general. You can do so much with it, and I've always loved working there. It's great. It also does help that we live like 5 minutes away. Makes very, very easy.
Definitely. And for people that think that Only Hunger sounds miles away and it's not the Scooby-Doo, it's great because it's literally on a diagonal crossing from the train station. Exactly. And you can access it from both motorways.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, it's like going to the airport and taking a wee detour.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's not that far off of the motorway. And, like, there are so many main buses that head there. Mm. And it's around, like, what, 30, 40 minutes?
And there's free car parking at the back. So exactly. That's the other thing. There's no going into town and having to go into the Civic and pay between $12 and $25, depending on what time you arrive. You know, just get out to the Factory. It is a great space. And if you're ever looking for rehearsal spaces, like we were saying, Kete Aranui is so affordable. I'm there on a Monday and often other times doing singing lessons and different things, but it's primo. It's really good, and it's such a community hub. Like, you've got Pacifica dance happening in one room and tap dancing in another. Absolutely. And Shakespeare in another, and the singing gets a bit noisy at times, but you know, it's great. Anyway, we're not here to promote Kete Aranui, but there you go, Lara, that was your shout out. Connie, there you go.
Yeah.
So tell us, let's jump back to you, Shay. Is this your first Shakespeare?
It is. I have only watched some of my marvelous friends perform Shakespeare shows, but this is my first delve into it, and hopefully not my last.
So what was it that made you step up to the audition plate?
This is a little funny story, actually.
We like funny stories.
I knew Emmy, Michaela, and Nat Dolan were going ahead with the Macbeth interpretation, and I originally was a bit hesitant, purely from a schedule point of view. We all love a bit of scheduling. But I ended up having coffee with the lovely Michaela 2 days before the audition. And the pure joy and excitement on their face was something that swayed me and made me audition. And here we are.
Cool. And what about you, Hamish? Is this your first trip down Shakespeare Lane?
This is my fourth dipping a toes in with Macbeth in the past 7 years.
Wow.
Shakespeare. I think I've done 12-ish Shakespeare's since I guess technically a false start in 2013, got cast in a tour of Romeo and Juliet down in Ponicky, and couldn't do it because I didn't know how to schedule my NCA level 3 exams around being on the road. I didn't know how to do media in Napier, so I didn't do it. But I've been as politely as possible chomping at the bit for any Shakespeare opportunities, because it is such a fun, it's such a fun language and like mindset and thought processing world to operate in.
And is this the most like the other times you've done Macbeth, has it been traditional, or has it been a new concept, or is this something quite different?
I think the first one, the first one was a false start, and the second one I did un single bit of photography for it. And the third one was like a bluegrass version of it. It was like a jukebox musical, and so there's aspects of with any adaptation of Shakespeare, the Jenny Sequoias, the sprinkling over the top of it is there's a conventionality to the adaptation process at all, to the point where like it's sort of feels like, I mean, the first Shakespeare I did, as I think is common with a lot of theatre kids in Aotearoa, was a steampunk Midsummer Night's Dream So there's always, yeah, it feels like contemporary dress in like 1600s at the time-ness is the most unconventional way to perform Shakespeare, and that the sort of, like I'm thinking of like the David Tennant, Patrick Stewart Hamlet that was like filmed in what looks like a steel quarry, or the once again the David Tennant Chris Jumbo Macbeth really recently that was all very modern theatre, stark lighting, stark shadows, tonally strong suits, all that jazz. This Macbeth Inc., this specific vibe, in contrast or in comparison, is, yeah, rubbish answer. Simultaneously, incredibly conventional in the let's figure out how to make Shakespeare make the most sense that it can in a modern context, while also being unconventional in the sense that it is, we're not aiming for a screen naturalism, but we are we are trying to affect the vibe of a film, and all of the sort of characterization performance stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, that entails, which like screen naturalism is much more sort of subdued and internal a work than stages, even though it is literally stage and we are doing stage craft.
Yeah, 100%. Like coming at it from the director point, like that. It pretty much hit the nail on the head when it comes to you got it. With like the key that I'm going for here, especially when it comes to like it's the melding of those two things of making something of like, let's bring this amazing text into something that is attractive to modern audiences, to younger audiences especially, to bring in people in and go like, oh, let's understand this story more so than just something that a book on a page that you might have heard and like learned in your GCSEs, right? But on top of that, my goal has been to try and make the lines roll off the tongue as if they were a sentence you would say in day-to-day life. So I guess in that regard, it's very similar to the screen. That's where the screen affectation comes in, as well as the we're playing into camp stuff, we're playing into like horror tropes, we're playing into that kind of imagery that is reminiscent of the film, but also how a film, I guess, would do it, where it would feel natural rolling off the tongue. This feels like a conversation that you would have, even though you're saying thee and alas and what you egg, things like that should feel. They will come across at the very least, even if they don't sound quite right, they will come across as if I believe what I'm saying, I know what I'm saying, in this 80s context, let's have a handshake deal and we're going about our business. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So with Shakespeare, you know, doing adaptations and things, do you think that the joy of trying to put it in different places, do you think it's been affected by things like the fact that New Zealand has such a strong, I was going to say Sheila Wynn, but I'll get told off for just calling it Sheila Wynn. It's the Otago University Shakespeare, Sheila Wynn, something or other, every single year. Mm. You know, do you think, were you involved in it when you were at school?
I was, actually, yeah. My school, we did a version of Romeo and Juliet, but we did, we did a version of Romeo and Juliet, but it was Romea and Juliet, very a la 10 Things I Hate About You, which is ironic because I also did another 10 Things I Hate About You 90s version of Much Ado About Nothing, where I was Dugbury. It was very fun. It was done by the Arden Ensemble. It was great. Before that, we did that. I was Benvolio. It was really fun. We submitted a scene from that to Sheila Wynn, which was really fun. So that was my only time submitting for Sheila Wynn, which in that 1 year. But I think it definitely plays a part because we had the pop-up globe. We have a very, very active Shakespeare crew in specifically, I would say, in Auckland.
Yeah, like, well, we've got Shoreside with the Summer Shakespeare, which has been around for
so long.
Yeah. And
with so many people that have gone through those doors.
100%. And then the Ugly Shakespeare Company as well, and everything like that. So there's so many avenues for it, and there are more. And I also think that Shakespeare is really attractive to directors and to playwrights and like just to playing with, because of the fact that it's such an old text and you can interpret it in so many new ways. You can really play with it. I think that there are a lot of Shakespeare purists out there, and I think that, I mean, one of our wonderful cast members, Dave Birchall, is one of our Shakespeare purists, it's a big compliment. He after the audition process and after the first read through, he came to me, he's like, I'm usually not a big fan of things like this. I'm really excited to work on this. This seems like it's going to be really fun.
Cool.
So I feel like that's really great, because it's not just about, I guess, let's put a new spin on this, but it's also about, let me get the right words.
Keeping the integrity
of the story. Yeah, that's it. 100%. Yeah.
Very cool. Now we're going to take a music break. And it happened to be the Bard's birthday this week.
Indeed.
So I thought, why not talk about the fact that it's hard to be the Bard, according to our friends. It's something rotten.
My days are so busy, it's making me dizzy. There's so much I've got to do. There's lunches and meetings and poetry readings and endless interviews. Got a pose for a portrait and how it's a portrait and there for eternity. Then it's off to the inn where my innkeeper friend wants to name a drink after me. Then it's back to my room where I resume my attempt to write a hit. Just me and my beer and the terrible fear that I might be losing it. And it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's really, really hard.
So very, very hard.
I make it look easy, but honey, believe me, it's hard.
It's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard.
It's so incredibly hard.
So inconceivably, unbelievably hard.
It's hard to be the Bard. Honestly, I don't know how I do it. There's only so much of me to go around. I got so many fans with so many demands, I can hardly go take a piss.
You get me.
Be a theater freak or the autograph seeker, then I want a piece of this.
Give me.
It's a cross that I bear, I'm like Jesus, I swear it's a burden, but I suffer through it.
Suffering.
It's all part of the game, the trappings of fame. Somebody's gotta do it.
So he does it.
And I know, I gotta go and get back to my pen and ink. But don't make me do it, don't make me go through it. Can somebody get me a drink? Cause it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's really, really hard.
It's sexy, but it's hard.
This bar that I'm raising to be this amazing. It's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard.
It's so annoyingly hard.
So unavoidably, unenjoyably hard.
It's hard to be the Bard, baby. I know writing made me famous, but being famous is just so much more fun. You see, what people just don't understand is that writing's demanding, it's mentally challenging, and it's a bore, it's such a chore. Just sit in the room by yourself, oh my god, I just hate it. And you're trying to find an opening line or a brilliant idea, and you're pacing the floor and hoping for just a bit of divine intervention. That one little nugget, that one little spark, then eureka, you find it, you're ready to start. So now you can write, right? Wrong, you're not even close, you remember the damn it. Your place gotta be an iambic pentameter. So you write down a word, but it's not the right word. So you try a new word, but you hate the new word. And you need a good word, but you can't find the word. Oh, where is it? What is it? What is it? Where is it? Hello! You asked for information on what Nicholas Bottom is writing. A spy is here with the news.
Did he see me losing it?
He's half blind, sir.
Oh, good, then he only saw half of it. You see what I did?
Oh,
yes, wonderful.
Speak, man, what news?
I saw Nick Bottom, I did. He paid a soothsayer to foresee what Shakespeare's greatest play would be.
That sneaky little thief. Why doesn't he come up with his own ideas?
It's hard.
No, it is, isn't it?
It's really the worst.
It's hard.
Makes me wonder why I didn't think of that first.
It's hard.
To alleviate the pressure to create.
It's hard.
To do something as good as the last thing I did that was already great.
It's hard.
It's hard.
So hard that he is stealing from the Bard.
Well, I'll hoist Elias Baton. All that I need is a clever disguise.
Clever disguise.
Make him pay for his devious lies.
Make
him do all the tedious stuff. The work that's terribly and unbearably hard. All right,
Nick Bottom. I think Shakespeare needs to find out what Shakespeare's next big hit will be. Cause it's hard.
It's hard. It's totally hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's totally hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's totally hard.
Fortune and fame, everyone knows my name. I can't help it. It's still frickin' hard.
I really love that this room full of people seem to know the words to that song. I don't know why. Why would that be, Christian?
I don't know, but I am so impressed that this was a little sing-along. We don't have a lot of sing-alongs with Stephen, probably because, well,
Stephen,
I don't know
why.
Because I don't sing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely can dance.
Oh. But, well, maybe we need to put on something and we can all boogie around the studio.
It's very impressive.
Very cool. Now, we are going to now find out from all of you about your arts journey. Shall we start at this end this time? Tell us about your arts journey. What got you into the arts?
My arts journey, yes. I think what got me into the arts was finding a way to express myself. I mean, isn't it for all of us? I grew up with drama being a natural passion for myself, or singing being a natural passion. I carried that through high school. I went into university just down the road from here, in fact, studying at Unitech, Te Pūkenga at the time, getting a bachelor's degree in acting that has, admittedly, sat on my wall not doing much for a couple of years now. But that is how it goes in the life of a creative.
Mm.
I have spent the last number of years refining my craft, keep myself trained as an actor, engaging in as many theatre shows as I could. I believe 2 years ago I ended up doing 6 shows in a year, which was perhaps too much. But this is why we do these things, mm-hmm. to live and learn. More recently, I have been shifting more towards the production side of things, using the skills I gained at university to help get projects like this off the ground, working with Mikaela. We've worked together, how many productions now? Is this technically, well, technically four.
Is it four? Yeah.
Because
we've worked in a lot of different scenarios, because other stray shows, crew stuff, other things. Yeah, but not directly.
In the producer-director dynamic, this is our second going out together on this one. And now there are two Nats involved in this one. Myself and, of course, Nat Dolan, our other absentee director. He's been absolutely lovely to work with. It's been really lovely being back in the saddle with Mikaela here and this team, and I am hoping to see where my journey in regards to the arts continues from here.
Fabulous. Well, let's jump down to the other end. We're pointing in your direction, Shay. Tell us about your journey.
Fantastic. I started performing quite young. I began dancing at around 5, continued that. Didn't really touch theatre until, I would have been in high school, and I was actually began at Playhouse Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
My first show was The Little Mermaid, and I played Ursula. And then from there, I fell in love, and it really became my entire schedule outside of school. Then did a couple shows, musicals mostly. Didn't touch plays until university, within the last 3 years, actually. And I've only done plays since. And as we said earlier, this is my first Shakespeare, and yeah, it's been a whole thing. It's been a really busy time, and I've met a lot of amazing people doing it, and I just want to keep doing it.
Fabulous. Very cool. Okay, we'll jump to you, Mikaela, / Emmy, / everything.
We got a lot of names in here. Emmy's my nickname, Mikaela's my name. please, Strato's my father. Sorry. So I started out quite young as well. I came into the creative world through singing, through music. I am mainly a singer by trade, and also will be graduating with a degree in making fun noises in 2 weeks, which will be very fun, from UOA. But I started singing when I was around 5 years old, and I was taking music lessons for years from then on. I had touched theater for the first time when I lived in London. I lived in London for 4 years when I was in middle school into high school, and they were holding rehearsals, no auditions, for Grease the musical. I've never auditioned for a show in my life at that point. I sang, I believe, I hopped on the plane at LAX. What was that one? Party in the USA. That was it. I sang that for my audition song for Grease. Why? I don't know. But I got it. I got in, and I was hooked from then on. I was a lion in The Wizard of Oz, and from there, I became a great career of playing silly little guys, which is really fun. Past that, I've studied jazz at university for the past 4 years, graduating in 2 weeks. I also studied politics and drama at the same time. I touched my touched into directing and writing for the first proper time when I did a production of my own original musical on replay at Harlequin Theatre through their theater program, or their directorship program, which was really wonderful. I have done a workshop on that since, and after that, I got hooked on working in the theater machine, learning how it worked from the bottom to the top through everything. I've produced, I've done crew, I've done directing, I've done a whole bunch of stuff, and now this will be the second play that I have properly directed, and I'm really, really excited about it. I love Shakespeare. I love being able to play with this amazing team. I love working with Matt. Yet again, they are an absolute delight to work with. Shay and Hamish have been fantastic leads, and have been really patient with my antics, which is very fun. And yeah.
Awesome.
This is a quick fire run of my creative world and life. Yes.
There you go. Hamish.
Hello.
So you kind of told us already it started in high school.
Yes. Well, actually, it started when I was a child, very undiagnosed autistic child. I had a psychotherapist diagnose me with autism in 2021, which is pretty freaking late for a 25-year-old to figure out what exact flavor of brain that they have. But that did make a whole bunch of things coalesce all at the same time and make sense of it all. My dad still is a national champion trombonist and brass player with a whole bunch of groups in the Greater Wellington region. My mum was a ballroom dance teacher and New Vogue and Latin also. And they met doing in doing band orchestra stuff. So music and performance has always been a thing that was accessible in the house. There were instruments everywhere. There were me and my older brother and older sister would read Spike Milligan scripts for fun, and also turns out for stimming purposes. And then, and also the undiagnosed autisticness of it all, kid me being utterly fascinated by the presentation of self, by social expression, and what things meant and why they meant that. Why would a physical action mean something internally? Surely the internal thing was just in and of itself, and that's what do you mean an eyebrow twitch means something? What do you mean, world? And so all of the acting craft kind of stems from a childhood desire to know what it means to be a person. When I was 9, I was cast in my first show thing that was in primary school. It was a time travel play. I was Egyptian guard number 2. I had no lines. I had 2 scenes. I held a stick and I stared very angrily, and I guess there were enough teachers and parents that were like, yo, he took that really seriously. Look how angry this little man is. Why are you angry, little man? You're in a play, dude. Have fun. And it was just like school stuff like that until 2011, when I was 15, turned 16. I started auditioning for like online fandom voice acting stuff, and I figured like, okay, I'm a weird looking dude. I can't possibly do physical things, or I'm really apprehensive and shy about my appearance and being perceived. I'll do voice stuff. That's really fun. And then in 2014, I graduated high school, starting uni, was like, I'll audition for a thing, and I'll, if I like don't get stuff, then sure, I'll focus on voice stuff as a hobby, I guess, and I will study communications and I will work in marketing or whatever the heck, and it'll be fine. And I'm still auditioning for things. That didn't stop. People want me to be in things for some reason. Awesome. There's no idea why. Scientists are figuring it out.
No, that's great. Well, it's a very vast array of experiences in the room, but we run out of time. So we're at the business end.
Yes.
So how do people get to come along to Macbeth Inc.?
So some important things to get through, of course. Our season is running from the 15th to the 22nd of May, so just under 3 weeks from now. It will be at the Factory Theatre, Onehunga, as we said. You can get the tickets online at iTicket. We do also have a give a little to help us getting some funds in to help with set production and all of the like. Those who donate to the give a little, there will also be a discounted ticket price just for all of you if you want to help us, you know, help bring this to life, and we'll bring you on for a little cheaper than usual. So we have a matinee show on Sunday, correct? Yes. We do. That will be Sunday the 17th. So our season is just about a week long, so please come in, engage however you can. Come see our show, come see the amazing work that our team has been putting onto the stage, the amazing work that our directors have been bringing out of our lovely actors. Mm. It's going to be a blast, everyone.
And we have a wonderful Instagram as well, just to quickly plug. Yep. MacbethInc.play, MacbethInc.play, where you can find all of our updates, all of our information. And the same story goes for Give a Little MacbethInc when you're doing your searches. Thank you so
much. Fabulous. And the event is also on our event page, and we'll put the Give a Little up on social media. Thanks for coming in on a Sunday night, guys. We're going to play this interview out with Stan Walker's track that came out a couple of months ago, One Life.
My people, I don't do it for the fame. If I got cuota gitana, and it's okay, we're not the same.
Tyrants land you, corporate degenerate, and it corrupt one center. Unify self, fund new ventures. Not lying to the whole game, gentrified. Cough my wrist, I can't kick the urn. By my tongue, no these my words. Bring hope to the kids in the hood and the verbs. True, white or brown, my G's gon' learn. What's the man for the queens and sisters? Sovereignty, I can keep the riches. Love that blood, can't call in bitches. Leave that blood, virtue in scriptures. What's the man for the queens and sisters? Sovereignty, I can keep the riches. Love that blood, can't call in bitches. Leave that blood, virtue in scriptures.
One love, we only got one time, so make it work. Love, respect.
Walker's One Life. Wow, that was a great interview, wasn't it?
That was so much energy, and you can see how well they get along together. Like, that was a great unit of people just having a good time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, now we're joined on the phone by Imogen from Laser Kiwi. Kia ora, Imogen.
Kia ora, hello. How's it going?
Good. Now, whereabouts in the countryside are you at the moment?
I am in Wellington. Yeah, so this is home base for us Laser Kiwis, and we're having a nice time just being at home for a little bit.
Yeah, because now you've done your... No, Hannah's about to come up, isn't it? You do Hannah Playhouse first, and then you come up here to Herald Theatre?
Yeah, we kick off on the 1st in Wellington, and then we're up in Auckland from the 20th.
Fabulous. So tell us a little bit about Laser Kiwi. What is it for anyone that doesn't know?
Well, we've dubbed ourselves the world's only surreal sketch comedy circus troupe, and we're pretty sure that's true, that we're the only ones doing that. It's pretty niche. So we've got backgrounds in, like, pretty high level circus, and we love to bring joy. So we just, as soon as we started making work together, it had this kind of like comedy bent straight off the back. And that was probably 12 years ago that we made our first show. It wasn't Laser Kiwi then, it was just like, it was a circus street show. And yeah, a lot of comedy in it.
Now, the whole circus thing though was kind of part of people in brothers Zane and Javi, they had parents that were jugglers and things.
Yeah. So Zane and Deg's folks juggled recreationally when they were kids. So they kind of were brought up within this kind of juggling community. And there's actually a really incredible juggling scene across the country. Like, they've got a really long-running festival that pops up every year, but in a different town around the country. And yeah, so Zane and Deg kind of grew up amongst all these like colourful characters, some recreational jugglers and some professional jugglers. So they kind of were exposed to the street performance scene and the variety performance scene from a really young age, which is cool. And they were on stage too from a young age, and like renegade shows and community shows. So yeah, they're really born.
This call is being recorded.
You know?
Oh, we just got a wee message saying this call is being recorded.
Yeah, was that on your end or my end?
That was on your end, I think. Not sure. But anyway, so tell us, what made you decide to try doing aerial things? Like, how did you get into that?
Yeah, honestly, right place, right time. So growing up in Wellington, I think my mum saw an ad for a youth circus, I don't know, thing at Capital E over one like school holidays, and I just, yeah, I started when I was 11 and then really just didn't stop. I think it became such a big part of my life because the people were so kind and so talented and so fun, and I was suddenly kind of, I don't know, just exposed to people from all walks of life doing circus for different reasons. So yeah, it just became such a big part of, you know, the community side of it really influenced me to stick with it as well. So I stuck with it through, you know, like being a tricky teenager, and then all the way through now. It's been, yeah, my only job has been as a circus artist and variety performer and comedy performer.
Now, so, I've got to ask, and I'm touching wood while I ask this, but what's the worst incident you've had? Has there been any broken bones?
No, it's funny. It's like, despite having a high-risk profession, I'd say I'm pretty risk-adverse, and I think it's because I rely on my body so much. I'm not taking, like, silly risks. But yeah, I've had, like, sprains and strains. I had, I guess, quite recently, actually, which is weird, like, so many years into my career, like, I had a back injury about 3 months ago, and it was just, like, felt like it came out of nowhere, but probably was like an overuse injury, and I bulged some discs in my lower back, which really set me back, but you know, like, I did have to just pause my aerial mahi for about 6 weeks, didn't get on the apparatus, which was like a bit of a wake-up call, but also I think just the reality of using your body, just even wear and tear can catch up on you. So it's just kind of like set me right to really look after myself, because I want to be in this for the long game, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's such a fun life, and I feel like we've stumbled upon this really fun tension between circus and comedy. There's so much tension in the moment before you achieve the skill, just like the tension before you deliver a punchline, like let people off the hook. And I think we're really enjoying like carving out this path for ourselves. Like we did, like there's a little bit of a cult following for Laser Kiwi, and I think it is because we're kind of putting things on stage people haven't seen before. So yeah, we want to keep going as long as we can because there's so much joy. Yeah.
And what does it mean, because you're aerial and things like that, like how does that work with venues? Do you have wait, like do you just only go into certain venues where you can tie off, or how does it all work?
Yeah, honestly, it's just like circus, man. It just becomes a big, it's a logistical layer. So yeah, we need to get like engineers' reports from different venues to see what infrastructure they've got on there and whether it's been like ticked off or how much weight it can hold. And then some venues, it's a really simple wrap around a steel beam. And some venues, it might be build an entire freestanding truss situation, so essentially a massive archway with ballast and then hang from the archway that you've built inside of a venue. So it's very case by case, but yeah, it does mean we have to, it does like rule out some venues for us, particularly ones with low ceilings, because if there's a low ceiling, even if you have the resource to build a whole truss situation inside it, you then won't have the height to actually do the cool work. So yeah, it's a limiting thing, and it often means we get pushed into bigger venues, which has probably honestly influenced the work that we create, you know, like we've had brilliant times performing in, you know, anywhere from a 200 seat up to, I think the biggest venue we played was like 1800 seats, which was a very fun show. So yeah, I think it's like pushed us as performers to perform quite large. Yeah.
Fabulous. Now tell us, what do people need to know about Everybody Knows?
Honestly, not a lot. Like our work isn't narrative based, so there's no like through thread that you need to like jump in on or buy into. Like it's sketch based, and of course there are like arcs and threads and satisfying endings and like great like energy arcs, but there's nothing you need to know. It's circus, it's comedy, it's three Kiwis from Wellington, sharing some pretty niche stuff. And it's like, honestly, this is our third hour of Laser Kiwi, and this one's the biggest energy, I would say. Like, it's very playful, and we kind of like, tapped into this very fun way of making the audience almost like a united heckler, if that makes sense. So you know a heckler in an audience might shout out something and you have to like riff with it. So it's like that, except we've homogenized the crowd to be this one voice, and it is so fun. Like it can go off the rails in the best possible way.
That sounds,
and we're so here for that. We love the fun chaos.
Very cool. Now tell us, where can people come to find out more or come to see you or book tickets?
Yeah. Head to the Comedy Festival website, so comedyfestival.co.nz, and you can see information about our Wellington dates as well as our Auckland dates, of course. And then, yeah, probably also Instagram. We post there a lot. We do lots of, like, fun stuff, and, of course, we post about shows and link to tickets and stuff. So, yeah, Laser Kiwi on Instagram as well.
Fabulous. And we will have those details up on our events page later on this evening, so you can always jump on to Kick Arts and check that out. Thank you so much for catching up with us tonight, Imogen, and we hope the seasons go well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Maybe see you there.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. Ciao.
Now, we've got a few bulletins have hit our inbox. So, first of all, a Free Family Fun Day mashup at Waterview Primary School with our friends, Captain Festus McBoyle's Travelling Variety Show and the Waterview School Kapahaka Group and Pacifica Group, plus chart-topping rockers Table Fox. Bring your canned or dried food donations as entry koha, and which will be collected on-site by the Encounter Hope Foundation and later distributed to needs within the community. There'll be face painting on-site for $5. There'll be yummy food and drinks and lots of giveaways from and lollipops from Macy's, one of the oldest sweet makers established in 1928. There you go. It kicks off at 11 o'clock. o'clock. There's welcomes, there's gift speaker, guest speakers, gift speakers. Well, they're giving away lollies. I suppose that's a gift. And fun-filled entertainment through to 1:30. So find out more. Check out Captain Festus McBoyle, and it's all on there. But Saturday, the 2nd of May, that's this coming Saturday, 11 to 1:30 at Waterview Primary School. New Zealand Fringe International Exchange Award winner and Sydney Touring Award Festival winner Marshall Lorenzo brings Serving Can't to the 2026 International Comedy Festival. Award-winning comedian Marshall Lorenzo's Canada's Drag Race is back with his brand new sketch comedy extravaganza, Serving Can't, a hilarious follow-up to his 9-time New Zealand Fringe Award nominated and 2-time Fringe Award winning sketch comedy shows. Comedy fans, prepare yourself for a whirlwind of hilarity as Marshall dives headfirst into a world of sketch chaos with Serving Can't, embodying a range of unforgettable characters while developing by delivering, gosh, my reading's shocking, razor-sharp commentary on crushing weight of capitalism and the absurdist D's of modern life. So you can check him out. He is happening at the Basement from May 7th till the 9th. So jump onto the Basement to find out about Serving Can't. And from Stray Theatre Company, Dracula, written by Hamilton Dean, directed by Clark Lewis and Hex Anderson, is happening at the Pitt Street Theatre from Wednesday the 6th to Saturday the 9th. Gosh, May is crazy busy times. So Mina and Jonathan Harker are nice people with unusual friends. A nobleman, the doctor of an insane asylum, an American wannabe cowboy, and the newest addition to their little... And the newest addition, the eccentric Count Dracula, all the way from Transylvania, who just moved in next door. True classic, full of teeth, tension, and wit. Check it out, that Stray Theatre Company. And check straytheatrecompany.com/tickets. Now I've been joined in studio by a couple of other people that are a part of the Comedy Festival, but also part of Improv Bandits. So, kia ora, good evening guys, how are you?
Kia ora, great, good, thanks. Thank you for having us.
No worries at all. So, first up, Matt, tell us a little bit about what you guys are up to.
Well, firstly, I'm exhausted by just listening to the repertoire of acts and events that you've just been racing through there.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, yeah, Mark and Jung, and we're part of the Improv Bandits troupe. There's about 7 or 8 of us. I've lost count years ago. And, yeah, look, we've been around for quite a while. I think I joined the Bandits in about 98, so...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I'm almost as old as the lolly seller. What, really? 1928? They've been around?
Supposedly,
really?
Yeah.
I want to meet that person.
Yeah, Mr. Macy.
Who've established their business in 20... Good going. That's longevity. So, we have a beautiful theatre in McKelvey Street in Ponsonby, COVID Theatre. So we don't want anyone really to know about it, so just keep the lid on that. We've just actually hosted the theatre's just hosted the Auckland Improv Festival there.
Yeah, that was last week, right?
Yeah. Just had the closing out show last night. Well, there were several shows, but ending in the closing out show, lots of drinking and insane karaoke and dancing and stuff. Things that people do when they have closing nights and drink a lot, basically.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But that was fun. That was amazing. We had tutors from all over the globe, actually. And it's a time when people make a lot of great, deep connections. But we're not here to talk about that.
No, you're here to talk about something else.
We've got the Comedy Festival coming up, right? Which you've just been... I think, to be honest, we should just go home, Ying. I think people have just heard so many shows to go to. There's so much stuff out there, right?
Yeah. But there's enough to go around. There is enough to go around.
So,
Yoon, tell us, how long have you been a bandit?
I'm probably the newest addition to the bandits so far.
You are our sparkling gem, Yoon.
The newest addition. So I joined the Improv Bandits last year. the last one to join.
Yeah, no, we're very excited having you with us. It's fantastic because some of us have been there. How long have I been there? Over 25 years, and so we've got people that have just slotted in and out over the years, over that whole journey. The shows that we're doing over the festival, we've got the improv band shows themselves tend to be more short form. We do a lot of long format shows throughout the year. The festival shows, we tend to just do just stuff that's fun and silly and get together and it's our fun time.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's important, though, for a troupe, we'll call you a troupe.
Why not?
A team of players.
Yeah.
To have people that have worked together a lot, because obviously you've got to be able to vibe with each other doing improv. So that probably helps someone new slipping in. Did you find it was easy to kind of slip into the group when you did join?
Yeah, I did. Because I knew them all individually anyway, just because we're all part of the same theatre as a whole. And then the next thing is just kind of slotting in and building up the trust between each other as you go through and learning each other's styles a lot more deeper as well. So yeah, made it easier.
Very cool. Yeah. Now, Mark, tell us, how does an improv troupe rehearse? Because it's improv. Does that mean you just throw lots of scenarios at yourself every week, or how do you do it?
Okay, well, if you are writing a film or a novel, you want to have a structure to that novel or to that film. Every film, every novel is totally different. It can be a horror, it can be a comedy, it can be a romance. There are so many different ways you can flesh out that. I'm not even going to call it a skeleton, but you've got rules that you've got your generally your typical three act structure, stuff that makes something work. Well, improv is the same, and you will have probably heard of the yes and principle. In fact, the yes and trust is the trust that administers the Covert Theatre, set up by Wayne Jackson, who founded the improv bandits. Yes and is, it's actually a misunderstood principle by even some really famous, well-known improvisers. Yes and is not about saying yes to the improviser, to the character you're acting on stage with. It's about embodying yes, saying yes to the improviser. So you could say to me, give me your wallet. Now, a lot of people go, that means I have to say yes. No, it doesn't, because you would be going, I'm going to accept that you're mugging me and I'm going to say no. So I'm saying yes that you're a mugger and I'm going to say no to reinforce that I don't. And now we've got the conflict and tension. So we spend years honing our skills to understand what makes a scene work. What does the scene need? What is it about? What the hell are we doing? Because we're going to stage with nothing. We watched some people last night. We watched another group do in the festival doing a show, and it was a delight to watch because they knew each other so well.
Was it Bull Rush?
Yeah, it was Bull Rush actually. Yeah, they were lovely. And this is a thing we spend years working on, and we've been teaching it for years. You know.
Yeah.
So And you also find out, as you were saying, you find out we each have our strengths and our lesser strengths. So
our strengths and opportunities.
And opportunity. Oh, look, see, that's why she's in the group. That's why she's with. So it's nice to be able to find ways to make your fellow players shine. You know.
Yeah, definitely. So, how much of your show requires the audience to give you ask fors and things like that?
How much? It's definitely a crucial thing. At the start of each new scene, we'll go to them for something.
What happens if you have a silent audience? Do you have you ever had a silent audience, or is there always just someone there that's willing to?
Yeah.
look, it's very, very rare. Like, you've got people who've come out to see a show. You approach them with energy at the start. You explain how the show is going to work, and then you do the show, and then you get them to shout things out, and then you take a thing, and then you just run with that thing. So for like a short form type show, you might be doing like 3 to 5 minute scenes, and between each of those scenes, you break character and just become yourself again, and then you chat to the audience. So hopefully at the end of that, you should all be pretty good friends by a third of the way through it, let alone by the end of it.
Do you think that programs like Whose Line Is It Anyway, and there was the other one, I've just forgotten the name of it, that was on for a while, where they were dropped into a scene and they had to improv out of it. I can't remember what that one. That was another British.
Is it an Australian one?
Glad You're Here or something like that. Yeah.
Thank God You're Here.
Thank God You're Here. That's it. How much do you think programs like that on TV have helped maybe or encouraged people to want to do or see improv?
I really don't know. I think just the theatre sports, the live theatre sports was the thing that initially made me want to become involved. And, I don't know. I've never actually really heard people talk about Whose Line Is It Anyway? when they come to shows.
Well, I remember, there was a few times that they've come... people, some of their actors have like come to New Zealand and done like shows and that, which seem to sell really, really well.
You know, Colin Mochrie came and did our 20th anniversary, I think it was, or that's our 20th anniversary at the Town Hall. And Wayne Brady hosted the Comedy Gala one year.
And
I mean, they're very popular. They're superb acts.
They sure are. So, what got you into improv?
Well, I was actually doing stand up, and Wade invited me to. We were kind of all very early in our comedy careers, and he invited me to guest with the Bandits, and so I learned a lot of improv pretty much on the fly. And so a lot of scenes I learnt on a stage in front of people, and it was a gift because I kind of feel like the first time you do a game or a type of a scene, something happens that will never happen again. And so you pack that away, and then but that is another lovely thing about improv, and certainly the style that we practice, we never do the same thing again. So you never go, oh, I remember that thing, everything, because we hope that we're connecting with each other, and we're looking for the thing that's happening now between us. We're not trying to invent something in our head. Of course, we're thinking because we're going, where the hell is this going? You know, sometimes you're like the duck on the calm on the surface and the leap because you're going, where's this going? But it's a joyous foot swivel. It's a joyous panic. So it's new every time. And you never know what's going on. I never know what Yung's going to give me. She never knows what's happening.
No. And Yung, what made you decide to jump into improv?
My journey was quite different from Mark's, actually. So a number of years ago, my manager at work said to me, hey, you have this learning and development budget that you haven't used yet, so look for a course, tell me what you want to work on professionally, and we'll see if we can make it happen. And so at that time, I was dealing with a lot of anxiety and self-confidence issues at work, where I would clam up and freeze if anyone asked me a question or anything in a meeting. Didn't like talking at meetings or anything like that. And so I just jumped online and started looking up what I can do to work on things like that, and came across the improv workshops being run by the Covert Theatre. So, so I emailed that to my manager. I mentally prepared this bullet points list of, you know, reasons why I think it would be a really good idea if you guys paid for me to do this. Turns out I didn't need to have that that bullet point list ready at all, because I sent it to my manager and she said, yep, cool. Because I said, would you be willing to pay for half, if not the whole thing? And she's like, yeah, cool. So that's how I
got into it. That is so cool that a workplace also recognised that, I mean, surely the ability to improvise, to listen.
Yeah.
In any workplace, we've got to listen to people and be able to respond on the fly, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And be able to process really fast and go, okay, if I say this, this person might walk out the door. But if I say this, this person might hand over the check.
Yeah,
but you've got to use your powers for good.
Yes.
You can't use your powers for evil.
Right.
Oh, that's the quote of the night right here. So that was how I got into it, and it's ended up really helping me a lot professionally in terms of, you know, how to be a really good team member, how to work well with other people, how to stay present. In my job, I sometimes end up doing quite a bit of workshop facilitation, and so that has really helped with that as well. So yeah, it's really done a whole lot for me, actually.
Because there are a lot of high school students out there doing the theatre sports program, you know, and it's been going for a very long time, good old theatre sports program with Laurie and everyone. How many of the people that you work with have come, do you know if many of them have come through from that? Like, do people carry it on after school, or do people move away?
I don't know that any of our members have come through that program. I mean, they had an amazing program. I remember when Jim and Lyra came over here all those many years ago, and Claire Kelso and that, they had that whole school system running. But I mean, that was quite a while ago now, eh? And I think there's individual drama groups that
they're still doing it, because Rebecca from Improverist is still one of their tutors that goes into school and teaches theatre sports.
Does she work with con artists?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, but I don't know, because a lot of our, we tend to have adults come to us. And most of them, like yourself, you were saying, Jung, are people just looking for something. And, we don't get a lot of people that have had a lot of experience before they come through.
So how would you encourage someone to maybe come and give it a go?
Oh, look, you know what?
We have an improv test drive that they, once a month on a Saturday afternoon, where people can come in and just for 45 minutes, no obligations, you just try it out.
That's cool.
You know, and see how you like it, see if it was fun, if you enjoyed it. And so that's generally, anyone who kind of asks about wanting to, like, that looks fun, I kind of want to give it a go, but I don't want to just immediately sign up for a 10-week course.
Come
do the test drive with us.
So that's how it works? There's a 10-week course after that you can sign up for?
There's several. So there's Art of Improv 1, 2, and then there's a 3 now as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Because it's important to us that the quality of our shows are actually really good, because, you know, it's a theatre, it's a commercial theatre, it needs to pay its way, and you know how difficult that is in the arts in New Zealand.
Well, I'm sure it's pretty hard to get funding, I'm sure, as well, for anything like that. I mean, you've got a building to upkeep as well.
The thing is, I've just seen such an incredible community come out of the whole thing. Wade Jackson's created an incredible thing there, you know, and he has personally put a lot of money into it. He's devoted, I mean, the guy could just go off and be a corporate sellout, and he could make loads of money and just be happy with that, but he's not. He really does want to give back into the arts. It's pretty much his hobby horse, his passion, and the theatre itself. It's pretty great community, isn't it? Yeah,
it's awesome. Quite a lot of us stay on for the community aspect of it as well, because you make these connections with other people at the theatre. And
it's lovely seeing that. It's lovely seeing in like a group on your teacher class, and then that they'll all head off to the boozer together, and you know, have a bite to eat and a drink, and you know, or they'll get together before the class. Not too many drinks before the class, obviously. And but so all these individual little groups form, and then just become part of a wider community as they assimilate into the theatre.
So you can take these courses, but you don't necessarily join the troupe. But you're always looking for people to kind of.
There are so many troupes. There's a musical theatre troupe. There's a Shakespeare style troupe. There's you know, a number of whodunit style troupes. Lots.
Something for everybody. And then how did you see your work changing, like how you showed up at work after going through this?
I think what I was able to do better is to just let go of expectations. And to not get so stuck in my head about what people are going to ask me. Am I answering it correctly? Is this what they wanted to see, hear, read, etc.? It's just, no, we'll just turn up, calm down, take a deep breath. Let's see what they come up with, and we'll just respond to that. And there's no point in working ourselves up to a state trying to anticipate what's going to happen. Just leave it. Leave it be.
And that's the same thing for the audience to come and see you perform, is just letting go of that expectation and being in the moment and kind of taking a little which way mystery, like which way is it going to go? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just connect with each other.
I see what you're doing.
Process.
I see what you're doing. I see you're trying to lower the bar there for us. Thank you.
I am not at all.
Oh, no, you're raising the bar.
Don't do that. Oh, okay. The bar is at the same. Yeah,
we have a great time with our audiences. We love what we do, and it's an absolute privilege to do it, you know. I used to be, you know, like the puppy dog racing out onto the stage, all arms flailing at the start of a show. I can't be bothered with that anymore. I can't be bothered with the bullshit. Like when it comes to writing a press release, for example, when I look back on some of the stuff I wrote like 15 or 20 years ago, I'm like, oh, did I really write that? But you have to, because you have to be your own drum beater. There's this horrible thing about when you're promoting shows as a non-known New Zealand comedian. You have to be your own promoter. You really just want someone else to say, this person's amazing. No, I didn't say it. But you have to do it yourself and go so against the Kiwi psyche. But, you know, everyone has to do it. But I just can't be bothered with that anymore. But I'll tell you, I'm always great. Whenever I come off a show, because I've got a couple of kids now, so I'm not as involved as what I had been. But whenever I come away from a show, I just feel so grateful to have had those moments with my mates, and just where the world just disappeared for an hour, and I just shared this amazing experience with a bunch of people that I don't even know. And I think it's so important now in these times that are just, the world is falling around us, you know? That's how it feels. It's not, but it feels like that sometimes. And sometimes it's just great to just go somewhere where there's people who actually have faces and there's not a screen between them,
it's,
you know?
It's that connection.
You could actually reach out and run out and touch them. And you're not allowed to do that, by the way, but you could. And it's... it centers me again, you know?
I love that. Now we're going to take a quick music break. Sam White's going to tell us a little bit how things fall into place for him.
He's not the guy who you thought him to be, 'cause he's lived a thousand lives, even a couple today.
is coming, coming to realize what remains the same. The paths and passages change. Oh, there's something special just around the corner, something brand new around the bend, something special just around the corner for you, my friend. Things fall into place. I've been wary for a long time, and it's all falling out of my control. But some days love feels ordinary. Professor's on a train. She's been through a tough divorce, and she's given up on love. Oh, what a shame. But what she sometimes dreamt of, that she could never explain, was just waiting for her when she stepped off of the train. Oh, cause something special just round the corner, something brand new around the bend, something special just around the corner for you, my friend. Things fall into place. I've been wary for a long time, and it's all falling out of my control.
Well, that was Sam White, and things were falling into place, or things fall into place. Now, back with our friends from Improv Bandits, I thought we'd ask you one of our kick arts questions. So, I'm going to start with you, Mark.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Okay.
If Creative New Zealand walked through the door right now and said that you could do any project that you wanted to, or something that maybe you've dreamed of doing, what would it be?
I'll take it. What would it be?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I was just saying to you before how important I think, I used to want to be like a feature film actor. Still do. Of course I would love it. Of course I would.
Mm.
But what I've noticed and discovered through my performance career is that it's so rewarding doing live work. You know, it is so rewarding. You can see the glow on people's faces. You can see, and if you're not doing the job, you can see that as well.
Yeah,
you know, but you can see the impact, and it's and I think just human connection is so important, and it's look, you can get it through film, but it's got to be really good. It's got to be programs like Schitt's Creek is just amazing to me. I mean, that's just full of pathos. So you can get stuff through screen. But seeing something happen before your eyes and live, it's nothing like it. Because you are part of it. You're part of the cast.
And would you stay with improv rather than going into live theatre that was scripted?
I've done a lot of live theatre that's scripted. And, yeah, in fact, Paul Pace, another one of the improv bandits. We both actually got cast in the same TV show last year, which I found out when I went in to meet the director, and they had all the cast up on the wall there, and one of the guys, we both read the same script, and he got that script, and I got another character, and it was him, and I'm looking, there's Paul, and then another guy in the cast was a fella that I walked my kids to school with. I was like, what the hell is happening here? I don't know, but it's the universe,
I suppose,
colliding.
I was going to say, it's the 6 degrees of separation that is New Zealand theatre slash acting.
Yeah.
I think we all know each other some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jan, a kick-ass question for you.
Yes.
Is there a dream role? Again, if a famous producer was to walk through the door, is there a role that you would drop everything or a project that you would drop everything and run to?
Yeah, probably. I don't know what that would be, but yeah, absolutely. Something that makes people laugh a little, cry a little, smile a little. Yeah, all of that. I don't know that I have a preference for scripted versus unscripted. I think I like both. I think each one keeps you on your toes.
Okay. Now we're coming to the end of our show, and of course people need to know how they can come and see you guys perform. So you sell it to us, improv styles.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you on May the 15th and 16th of 2026 in the New Zealand Comedy Festival at Covert Theatre, you can see Kevin McDonald is forced to do a show. Is
that yes, he's forced to do two improv shows.
Yeah, with the Improv Bandits. The week later, 22nd and 23rd of May, that's Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m, the Improv Bandit shows at the Covert Theatre, and there'll be a lot of other improv shows at that theatre also over that period.
Yeah. So people can find out about it probably through...
They can just Google Covert Theatre.
Yep.
Or the Comedy
Festival.
Yes. Yes.
We're
also available via Event Finder.
There you go, Event Finder.
Check that out, and we'll also put all those details up on our website. Thank you so much for coming in on a Sunday night and telling us about your journeys through improv. And get along if you want a night of actually just being able to sit back and have fun. That's how I always find when I go along to improv. I just love sitting there and seeing what's going to happen, because you can't expect anything, because you just never know, right?
Yeah.
We love seeing what's going to happen too.
Yeah. We're all waiting to find out.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got something coming up in the arts world, don't forget to let us know. info@kickarts.org.nz. We are getting booked up pretty well in advance, so people that are reaching out to us with only a week or 2 weeks to go, you might miss out. So get in quick and book up. And that's about it for tonight. So tonight we are going to play out with Lara Eagle's song Karma. But before we do, I want to say a huge thank you to Foolish Wit, our sponsor for the month. Their production Glass Menagerie opens this Wednesday at the Pump House. So thank you, Foolish Wit, for your continued support of Kick-Arts. So here is Lara Eagle with Karma. Have a fab week, everybody, and kick some arts. Take you away from me.
brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some R, R, R. Go kick some R, R, R.